Hello, Gather. It's so fun to be back with you guys. If I haven't met you guys, my name's Braun. And in 2018, I had the pleasure of being the director of Gather. And I'll just tell you, I love when I get a chance to come back and be with you. That's just the truth. I love to be around you guys, and I love to be with our leaders team. And it's just a blessing. I got to come a little while ago and just worship with you and be here. And I just want you to know it's a privilege to be here tonight. Hey, I have been praying about what the Lord would have me share with you guys. And I think he's led me to a really great passage, probably a familiar passage for many of you. But I hope, and my prayer has been as I've been leading up to this time, that the Lord would use this to comfort, to convict, to spur you, to remind you. And so I'm really excited where we're headed tonight. I want to show you a picture here. And yeah, this is a picture of the prodigal son. And I want you to look at that picture. I realize it's a little bit, not the highest of quality picture here, but as you're looking at it, when you look at that, I wonder if you take note of the son as you look at it, you might think, man, he's tired. He's kneeling at his father. If you know the story of the prodigal son, he spent a lot of time wasting his life, and then he's doing all kinds of crazy things, and then he ends up eating what pigs were eating. He longed to fill himself with what the pigs were eating. And there's this great line in the story where it says he came to his senses and he remembered his father's house. And so when I look at that, I see this tired son kneeling at the father, and then I see this father stooping down and embracing him. And I don't know what this season you're in right now, if this has been a hard couple of weeks, if it's been a hard month, if it's been, many of you might go, it's been a hard year. I don't know where you're at tonight, but as I sat with the Lord, I felt like he was saying, hey, Braun, you need to talk to them about rest and about how I see them. And it's been really good for me because the Lord has had me in a little bit of a heavy season right now. And so wherever you are tonight, I want to remind you of how the Lord views you, that he loves you and he welcomes you. I want you to hear that. And I want to remind you that in this time, the verses that we're going to look at tonight, when Jesus was talking with the people, he was in a time where the Pharisees were adding to what the people needed to do. It was a lot of, this is what you'd need to do to be right with God. And Jesus came in with a very different message for them. It was not about what you will do. He was asking, he was inviting them to come. And so let's look at Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. And it says here, you guys know this verse, you probably heard it. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Okay, and I want you to take note of that verse. That's probably one you've said a lot. But what I love about what Jesus says here is notice the simplicity of it. Come to me. Don't go to something else. Come to me. And I want you to think about this last week, all the things maybe that you went to besides Jesus, all the things that you went for life, for satisfaction. Maybe Jesus has been a distant thought for you this week, and he's calling you again, saying, man, just come to me. And notice what he says. He says, all who labor and are heavy laden. I think all of us are in places where we've worked hard for something, we're striving. We get in those seasons where we're trying to kind of earn it or doing it on our own. And the Lord might remind you tonight that all of you who labor and are heavy laden, he's saying, I will give you rest. And I know that sounds simple, but man, I have had many mornings this last few weeks where I'm just walking and praying with the Lord and going, Lord, I know what you say. You say, come to me if I'm heavy laden, if I'm carrying something that's heavy, and you will give me rest. Nothing else will really give me rest. And so there was another picture that I remember a friend showing me that I don't have tonight, but it was a, a picture of a man carrying a large boulder on his back, and he was heading up a hill. And in the picture, this artist had drawn these angels kind of holding that boulder from crushing him. And I thought about that picture because, and I remember seeing it, and it really brought, I remember seeing it and saying to my friend, wouldn't that be nice if the weight that I feel that the Lord would be there going, I've got it. I'm holding this from crushing you. And I want you to think about that tonight as it's a little bit like you're, Jesus is saying, hey, come to me. Maybe some of you guys feel like I'm just kind of paddling. You know, I'm kind of dog paddling in the water and trying to keep my head above water. And Jesus is going, hey, I'm the life preserver you can grab onto and you can stop trying to stay afloat. You can trust me. I don't know if you remember these. I'm going to show you a picture of some. These were called ankle weights. Do y'all remember these back in the day? I had these. This one right here. And you would put those things on and you'd do workouts with them. And you thought for some reason, man, if you put those ankle weights on, you'd put them on, you'd go run or something. And then you'd take them off. And all of a sudden you thought you were so fast after that. You know, you're taking off running. And I remember wearing those and thinking, man, I'm going to be a Division I athlete if I keep wearing these ankle weights. And I thought about this for you guys and for me. When we try to go, it's like we have these ankle weights of life on, and the Lord's going, hey, you don't have to wear those. You don't have to be weighed down by those. I can take those. I can take that weight from you. If you'll come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And so if some of you tonight, what I want to ask you is what is keeping you from coming to the Father, coming to Jesus? What's keeping you from running to him? And I'm gonna give you some things to think about. I'm a journaler. I love to journal and think about what the Lord is trying to say to me. And so these might be good things to take notes in your phone, but or in a journal. But what's keeping you from coming to the Father? Is it denial? Okay, is it basically going, I'm good, I've got it? And when we're in denial, what happens is we just keep going and we think we don't need to come to Jesus. We can just keep rolling through life. And it's like we don't want to face up that, hey, this has been a heavy week or this has been a hard week. And if I just kind of act like it hasn't been, it'll be okay. So that might be one reason. Second reason could be that's just pride. And pride is like, I'm good. Pride is like, I can do this on my own. I don't need the Lord. I don't need to come to Jesus. In fact, really, I'm kind of self-dependent and self-reliant. And then when things get really rough, I might throw up a prayer every once in a while. But I'm not really in need of the Lord. And so your pride says, I've got this. And if that's where you are, I think the Lord's going, guess what? As you are self-dependent, you're not going to find rest there. I want to take those weights off. I want to walk with you. I want to be a refuge for you. So pride could be one. A third one could be busyness. And I know we talk about busyness a lot, and maybe we talk about it so much we've almost become too busy to consider busyness. You know, we think about it. We go, man, am I running at such a frenetic pace that I don't ever slow down to really go, Lord, I'm reminded I need you today. I'm remembering you today. I'm seeking your face. And so it might be that you've just become numb, is the way I would call busyness. Busyness can lead to us becoming numb and kind of like, I just haven't thought about the Lord. I'm just so going so fast. And so the Lord might be saying, hey, would you slow down enough to come to me? Because I want to give you rest. Fourth thing could be distracted. You're just distracted. And when I say that, I mean deceived by the things of this world that you think will give you life. And we all have them. They're all teed up for us. There's different things that we're going to turn to. And what I've realized about the things of the world, they always overpromise and underdeliver. I've seen it enough in my own life. Right now, there's probably something in your life that you would say, man, if I just had blank, you ought to fill in that blank for yourself. If I just had that, I would be content. That's what I'm looking for. I want that. And what I've learned is, like Jesus talked about himself a lot as he was the bread of life for those who were hungry. He was living water for those who were thirsty. And in this verse, he says he's rest for those who are heavy laden. So he was teaching himself. And yet, we're so distracted and deceived by counterfeit things. We look to those things and then we wonder why that isn't giving me rest. And it's good for us to think about. The fifth thing could be just your view of God. If you don't come to him, you don't come to Jesus because you don't know how good he is. You've never really tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And so if that's you tonight, maybe it's because of experiences you've had. When you think about the prodigal picture up there, you go, man, I think about my father. That doesn't seem like an inviting place. Maybe you think of Jesus as someone who's angry with you or wouldn't receive you. So I want to remind you, when you think about what's the world's invitation for those who are heavy laden, I want you to think about, I think what the world would tell you, if you watch any shows, commercials, that kind of thing, they would say, the way for you to handle your heavy laden, tired life is you need this. You need some kind of escape. It might be that you need alcohol. It might mean that you need more money. It might mean that you need that one vacation, that if you could just go on that, you'll finally have rest. I can remember years ago, my wife and I, we won a trip to Costa Rica. Crazy. Okay, we're on the beach at the very last day, and here come the people with the fruit skewers, and I'm like, this is good living, man. This is awesome. And I remember them coming out, and I'm at a really nice place, and I sat there, and it was like the Lord laid on my heart as I'm sitting there spending time with Jesus. And I said, Lord, will you never let me believe that there's life in this? This is going to end, but you're faithful to the end. And I don't want to keep chasing stuff like that. I don't want to live for the next trip I go on. I know that I can find rest and life in you. He that hath the Son hath life. And so don't let me be deceived into thinking that there's life there. All those things will leave you wanting more. And so you want to recognize those things. Man, when we come to Christ, he gives us rest. And here's another question for you. What has caused you unrest this past week? You got to think about that. What are the things that, if you think about, man, this has made me stressed, this has made me worried, this has made me consumed. I wrote some down for me. It could be burdens of others that I can't carry. Y'all ever feel that way? Hey, you want to help somebody, you're going, man, but that's not my burden to carry. I have to entrust in the Lord. That could be my son. Okay, I've got an 18-year-old son that I'm going to talk a little bit about tonight. He's my last one. He's getting ready to graduate high school. We're going to be empty nesters. It's going to be crazy. But it's a hurt for my son that I want to fix. You know, if I see him going through something, I want to say the right thing or try to fix what's going on with him. And it becomes, it causes me to be at unrest. And if you're like me, when those things bother me, when something's weighing on me, what happens with me is I can become fixated on it and I can become consumed with it. And so instead of resting in the Lord and giving that over to him, I try to fix, I try to make it happen, that kind of thing. So my son's another one. Pressures from maybe your workplace. Maybe you feel like there's someone, the approval of man, you want this certain friendship or you want this certain relationship or you feel pressure like, hey, I want people to like me, I want to be approved. And that can leave you to unrest because you're always striving to impress and you're worried about what they think and it makes you anxious and it leads you to unrest. You know what I've realized for me is when I'm in the middle of hurt, maybe what's brought you unrest is just something's hurt has hurt you. When I'm in the middle of that, what I've realized is one of my coping mechanisms can be instead of running to Jesus with that hurt and being honest with him, he knows my heart anyway, I try to move to an I don't care. I'm just not going to care about that. And the Lord's going, no, Brian, I have something better for you. I can give you rest in the middle of that if you come to me. And I know it's heavy. And I know that boulder's on your back. But I want to give you rest. So whatever it is, there's things that can be consuming us, right? And so instead of escaping to something else, Here's what I want to challenge you to do this week, the rest of this week. Instead of escaping something, don't run from it. Run to the Lord. Run to him. Be willing to go to him. And then after we come to him, like the scripture says, what does it say is next? Look at this. It says, take my yoke upon you in verse 29 and learn from me. Don't you love that? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will, what? Here he goes again. And you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. When I read that, as I think about what the yoke means here, I think about this idea of it is, you are becoming a disciple of Christ. You are surrendering and you are saying, Lord, I surrender my life to you and I surrender in dependence on you. That's accepting his yoke. That's what it meant in these times. It's like, hey, take that yoke upon you. If you're like me, I grew up in the 80s, and some of you are like, I'm not that old, but I'm old. And I can remember back in when my mom would go to the store, or a clothing store, she would buy clothes for us and bring them home. Okay, we didn't go with her and pick things out. My mom, we're going to get to that in just a second. My mom had an amazing eye for the sales rack, okay? Every time we went, there was this one rack with the big sign on it, and she loved to get the deal. And you guys all know, we all know this, why are clothes on the sales rack? Because no one wants them, okay? And my mom, it was like a game for her. She's like, I'm going to get you some shirts. Don't you worry, Bronham. Get you those shirts. And so I can remember coming home, and it was like this scary walk to my mom. The back bedroom, she'd put them all on the bed. It was like she was showing me all the ugly shirts. And I would go back there. And I was like, okay, I got to act like I'm really grateful for this. And you'd walk back there, and they'd be laid out. And it would be some of the ugliest stuff you've ever seen. And she's going, this is great, and I got you those shirts. And you're like, this is awesome. Thank you, Mom. And you had to do that because if you didn't say that you liked the shirt, then you were entitled and ungrateful and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to show you a picture here of me as a kid. There's a couple things going on here. One, obviously, let me say this. That haircut, we were not spending money on barbers, obviously, either. And that shirt was a solar system shirt, okay? That is never cool, all right? That was never a good shirt. She couldn't figure out why it was 90% off. It was amazing. So, and not only did she get that shirt for me, she decided, you know what? Your brother needs that shirt too. And your older brother needs it. And so you're going to wear, and guess what? That's the shirt you're going to wear for your school picture. Okay, my mom should have been turned in for that. So, what I want to tell you is, in the analogy here, we could take that picture down. It's going to be too distracting. It's a good-looking kid. In the analogy, what I want you to hear is this. The analogy breaks down in the ugly shirt, but what's true is that my mom was providing for us. My mom and dad were providing something. They were providing clothes for me. And I think when this verse says, take my yoke upon you, what the Lord is saying, if you'll take the yoke of Christ on you, if you'll be clothed in Christ, it will bring rest to you. And it will be, the word there is, it's well-fitting. The yoke is easy. It's well-fitting. Y'all don't have that favorite pair of jeans, or maybe when you go home, I'll admit it, get on the pajama pants or whatever you're like, hey, let's get comfortable. It's the ones that you just go, man, it just feels like it's great when you have that on. And when you have surrendered to Christ, you can trust in the provision of him, right? You are in Christ. I want to remind you of that. If you've put your trust in Christ, you are his, and your identity is in him. So when you are facing tough circumstances, I just want to remind you, man, pray to the Father who loves you and say, Lord, would you remind me to take the yoke of Christ upon me? Casting, in 1 Peter 5, he talks about casting your anxieties upon him, right? Because he cares for you, all right? So that is important as we remember the Lord. Clothing yourself in Christ, here's how I think about it. Man, the way you're praying, the way you're worshiping, the way you're listening to the Spirit, all those are practices that you can do every day. And what happens is we're tempted to go, I'm going to go Sunday to church, or I'm going to come to gather, and then I'm going to come seek the Lord again the next time we're at a corporate gathering. And the Lord's going, no, my mercies are new every morning. You can come to me every day and find rest in me. And not only at the beginning of the day, throughout the day. Just remind yourself, Lord, thank you that you're with me. One thing I've been doing just in my calendar now is when I look at it for the day, I pray for each of those times. Before, in between those meetings, before when I'm meeting with people, I'll just lift up the Lord and say, lift it up to the Lord and say, Lord, will you take this? I need your spirit to reign in me and use me today. And so there's a constant coming to Christ. And if you're wondering, if you're going, man, it's like you're really thirsty and you take a little drink of water and you go, I'll see you next week. And the Lord's going, no, you can walk with me in fullness each day. So taking his yoke and learning and finding rest. So here's the question I want to ask you. Why do we struggle so much? We struggle coming to Christ because of this. This is what I was thinking about, is I think we see him as someone who's pointing the finger at us rather than embracing us. I think when it says he is gentle and lowly at heart, lowly means that he, think about these words, he's accessible, he's tender, he's open, he's welcoming you. He's not looking at you going, oh, you're coming back? Oh, you now you want to come? He's going, oh man, there's rest in me. In Christ, you can find the rest that he says, I want to give you. You will find rest for your souls. And I just want you to hear, he's that way to all who come to him. You can take on his yoke, you can cry out to him, and he's ready with open arms. And another picture or synonym of rest is peace. John 14:27. Let's look at that verse. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do y'all see it again there? So I give you rest, I give you peace. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Are we going to trust in what Jesus said about himself? I bring peace. When you look to the world for your peace, it is not the same. Here's the thing I want you to remember. Peace for the non-believer is absence of troubles. That's really what it is. I can remember as a parent sometimes going, man, I hope this week there's nothing hard coming. Or maybe that's your kind of, man, I hope nothing bad happens. Then I'll have peace. But for the believer, it is peace in spite of troubles. Y'all hear the difference? So if we live like the, here's my question for you. As a believer in Christ, many of you have put your trust in Christ. Are you living like a non-believer because you're going, I'm just trying to find peace in absence of troubles instead of in the middle of trouble, I'm turning to the Lord to be my refuge and my strength and a shelter from the storm? Because that's what the word says he is. Look at Psalm 37:39. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is the stronghold in times of trouble. And so I want you to hear that and remember that this week, the rest of this week, as tough times come, if heavy things happen or you're stressed, wouldn't it be amazing if you said, I'm going to turn to Jesus. I'm going to come to Jesus. I'm going to be reminded that he has told me he wants to give me peace, not as the world gives. And when we try to find it in the things the world offers us, it will always leave us wanting. Don't be surprised. So here's what Paul Bloom says. He says, coming to Jesus for rest doesn't shield us from afflictions. It transforms afflictions from fear-dominating, anxiety-producing, and hopeless to light and momentary. Hoping in the God of hope makes all the difference. Man, I love the truth of that statement because it's not like afflictions aren't going to come. This Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. So it transforms these afflictions from fear-dominating, anxiety-producing, and hopeless to light and momentary. Like when the boulder's on your back and the Lord goes, if you'll turn to me, I'm going to lift the weight of that by the power of my spirit in you. And to see how the Lord will do that. If you'll test and see that the Lord is good, if you'll taste and see, if you'll go to him and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you today. I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to remember you. Isn't it amazing how quickly we forget what God's done? I do all the time. And I have to remind myself of coming back to him. I want to tell you a story about my son, Easton. I have an 18-year-old son that's getting ready to graduate high school. I have two older boys that are, one's finished his junior year at A&M. No? Okay, there's only three. And then I have one boy that's now a man, he's married. And I want to tell you about my son, Easton, because I want you to hear that Easton had, this last 18 months has been a really life-changing 18 months for him. So about a year and a half ago, my son, who had put his trust in Christ, was a believer, but had decided, hey, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to, instead, I know where, he would say it like this. He said, Dad, I knew where home was, but I decided to build my own little shack and live in it and kind of believe that there was going to be life there. Maybe that's some of you tonight. Maybe you're going, man, that's what I'm doing. I know where home is. I know where rest can be found, but I'm choosing to live over here. And my son was struggling. He was hiding pornography. He'd gotten into a relationship with a girl that was unhealthy because of all that going on. And he was hiding it from his mom and me. And the Lord, in his grace and his kindness, exposed that and brought it into light. And what happened is the last 18 months, my son has been, the Lord has been bringing him back to himself. And he is finding rest in the Lord. When Jesus said, hey, I know you've been living in that shack over here. Come over here where there's life. I'm going to give you rest over here. Hey, I know you've been thinking that you want to put on those clothes that the world tells you is going to bring you life. But come over here and take the yoke of Christ upon you, and I will give you rest for your souls. I know you're heavy laden, because when you chase after the world's stuff, that's where it leaves you. And so I want to tell you, I just want to remind you, some of you might feel really hopeless with this tonight, and I just want to tell you what God's done in the midst of this. So here's what I've been seeing. I've been seeing my son walk in much greater freedom. He hasn't looked at pornography for a year and a half. Okay? And I'm not saying that to pump him up. I'm saying that is the grace of God and Jesus meeting him at his point of need. He got to share his testimony, sharing his faith. He got to be at Shoreline, which is our high school ministry here, and he shared his testimony there, and he told everything. And guys at school who are not believers said, I've listened to that seven times. And he said, Dad, he told me afterwards, I want you to hear this, because I think this is the freedom the Lord wants for you. Those of you, he's going, I got rest for you. And what he said to me, he goes, Dad, I never thought I was going to be able to share the real me. I never thought I could. And he goes, I'd hear people share their testimonies and go, man, I could never let them really hear what's going on with me. And he goes, it was so freeing, Dad, to tell them about where I found life in Christ. And you know what? Whether you're 18 or 50-some like me, there is freedom in Christ for you. And you don't have to wait, and you don't have to say, well, I'm waiting for the Lord to, I don't need to measure up, I don't need to get better. The Lord's going, come to me. You've been trying to find rest every place else, and I want you to come here. There's rest. I will give you rest. I will give you peace, not as the world gives. And my son was not, as he practiced all the world stuff, was not at rest. He's fully known now. He's fully known by us. I hear him giving godly and wise counsel now. And you know what this all was? Is that he just started getting up in the morning and coming to Jesus. And I watched him in football season when it was 6:30 practice. That 17-year-old boy was up at 4:30. Okay, getting in the Word, sitting with the Lord, praying. And you know what he started telling me? He goes, Dad, I'm being convicted about things I've never been convicted about. And I go, you know why, Easton? Because you're feeding your spirit. And when we feed your spirit, the Word says, we won't gratify the desires of the flesh. So don't be surprised as you come to Jesus that he begins to lighten your load. He begins to make things of this world grow strangely dim, as the old hymn says, in the light of his glory and grace. And he offers you that tonight. And he offers me that tonight. The other night we were talking about dating, and He said, you know, Dad, this is an 18-year-old young man. He said, you know, I don't think it would take a lot for me to want a date right now. I was like, really? He goes, yeah. He said, it would take a noticeable sign for the Lord to get me to want to date. I don't want the distraction from my walk with Christ. And I was like, man, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And all glory to Christ, all glory to Jesus for that, of what he's done. But here's the thing, the same Jesus offers you where you would go, man, I don't want to be so caught up in my work that I'm so distracted by it that that's what I live for, the next promotion. I don't want to be so caught up in whatever's going on this weekend because I'm finding rest and life in Jesus. And it changes everything. Here's what Paul Tripp says. He says, human independence and human ownership is a delusion. We're made for him, to love him, to serve him, to find all that we are, all that we need in him. Without him, we journey, we wander, we run after the things of this world, but we come up hungry and empty and disillusioned and disappointed, wondering where life and contentment can be found. Man, I could not agree more with that statement. And I wonder if for you tonight, are you finding yourself going, man, I've been wandering, I'm looking, and the Lord's going, I'm right here. I haven't moved. The word says in 2 Timothy, he's faithful, even when we're faithless, for he can't deny himself. And so if you find yourself tonight empty and disillusioned and hungry, he's there. If you're disappointed, wonder where life and hope and contentment can be found. Do you know that even in the spite of the circumstance you're in, you could find joy and contentment in Christ? Psalm 16 says, there is in his presence there is fullness of joy. So here's what I'd encourage you with tonight. If you're hungry and empty, you can be satisfied. If you're disillusioned, disappointed, you can move to a place of contentment all in Christ. Run to Jesus this week. Man, spend time in his presence. Find joy beyond your circumstances. And you go, well, how? You guys may know believers like that, that have this walk with Jesus where they go, man, it's been a hard week, but you wouldn't know because that, I'm just watching. They just even have a joy in the midst of hard. That's the most incredible testimony as a follower of Christ. And if we run to Jesus and quit going to everything else, we can find rest there. They go, all I know about that guy is he just has a peace about him because he's resting in Christ. I'm going to have Jared come up and sing a song over you guys. And I just, here's what I want you to do tonight. As I've prayed for you, I just want you to think about what's the one thing right now that you're trying to find rest in that maybe the Lord would go, hey, you're not going to find it there. You're running to something else, and I'm asking you to come to me. What's that something right now? And then may the Lord expose anything in your life right now that you're going, man, I'm running after life there, and I'm just going to confess that to the Lord and allow him to do what only his Spirit can do in you. Right? And if there's anybody here tonight that you would go, man, when you say run to Christ, I don't know that I even have a relationship with Jesus. The greatest love that a father could show to us is by sending his son. His son Jesus died for your sins. The word says that he took him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might obtain the righteousness of God. He has made us right by taking our place, taking my place on the cross, paying for my sin, and then rising again and conquering sin and death. And he offers that to you. And maybe you're in this room and you've never put your trust in Christ. You ought to find a leader, someone with a name tag on, and say, hey, I want to know more about what it means to put my trust and faith in what Jesus did for me on the cross. Or maybe tonight you know that, you know where home is, but you settled for the shack and you're carrying a rock on your back that the Lord would not have you carry. And he's saying, come to me, all who labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's let the Lord work in our hearts. again and again and again. And that the Lord does not grow weary with that. He's not like us. And that we can turn to him, that he is near the brokenhearted, as his word says. He is a broken spirit and a contrite heart. He does not despise. He loves you. He loves me amazingly. So I want to pray for now as y'all are getting ready to head to small group time. But I just want to pray for the Lord to continue to do a work in what you share and how the Lord might bless that time. Father, thank you that we can run to you. Jesus, thank you for that you call us to come to you, that you ask us to take the yoke of Christ upon us and learn from you, for you are gentle and lowly at heart. And we will find rest for our souls, for your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Lord, would you allow my friends to test that scripture to be true? That they would go to you and seek you, so when we seek you, we'll be found by you. You'll be found. We love you and we thank you for tonight. Pray you bless the time as we talk about your word, as we share with each other. May many be encouraged tonight, strengthened. If there's anyone in the room that doesn't know you, would they ask someone about what it means to really put their trust in Christ? And may they be willing to come to the Lord tonight because of Jesus. We love you and we thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name.